Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Revi'i, the 19th day of the month of Adar. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular the Schwartz family, whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note, as always, the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to welcome to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Zali Klayman of Beth Israel Synagogue in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, to share Divrei Chizuk. She'll be immediately followed by Rabbi Klayman slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach, Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Klayman to learn more about his wonderful community in Edmonton. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Lechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Klayman.
Thank you so much. First of all, thank you to Rabbi Posey and Rabbi Naftali Herman for graciously inviting me to this really unbelievable get-together of so many people, hundreds of people. Just getting together for a little dose of spiritual invigoration through Torah and Tefillah. So thank you so much for having me on the call. What I'd like to share with you today is definitely within the context of the reality settling in. With Purim behind us, it means inevitably that Pesach is before us. And Pesach takes a lot of effort, a lot of preparation. So I thought to leave you with a beautiful and empowering idea, a meaningful idea to take with you through the preparation and all the way through the Seder night and beyond. And just to start off with a question, as always, create the void to put this idea into. One thing which we all recognize, you know, every Seder we've sat down to in our past, growing up with our parents or now with our own families perhaps, there is that egg that is on the ka'ara, on the Seder plate. But we don't seem to really do anything with the egg. It's just there. So what is it there for? What does it represent? And I think the answer lies in that there's a fundamental idea that kind of underlies the entire Seder night that's found right there in the egg. What do I mean by that? What does the egg represent? So there's this beautiful idea that's found in a sefer, in a book, in a work of Torah that's called the Birchas Ish. And in there, he explains that perhaps the only thing in the physical world which truly represents potential is the egg. It's the paradigm in the physical world for something which starts off completely as an inanimate object, and with a little TLC, tender love and care, turns into life, literally. I mean, if you just take the egg from the chicken, from the mother chicken right away, you just have to heat up a pan, throw some olive oil on it, and you could have scrambled eggs, poached eggs, put it in water for some soft-boiled egg or hard-boiled egg. It's just a delicious breakfast and an infusion of protein. But if you just let that egg sit there a little bit under the mother egg, under the mother chicken, so it evolves into life, and a new chicken could be born from that very egg. And the only difference between those two, in other words, the inanimate version and the life force, is the TLC, the tender love and care to bring out the potential. And that is really, if you think about it, exactly what happened with the Jewish people when we left Egypt so many thousands of years before in our past, so many thousands of years ago. In fact, there's this fascinating midrashic teaching where the angels basically plea against the Jewish people to Hashem and say, well, God, Hashem, why are you choosing to take the Jewish people out of Egypt more so than, say, the Egyptian people? They're both idol worshippers because the Jewish people were really steeped in the culture, you know, for the worse, of the Egyptians. We were there for over 200 years. You know, who could ever really ask for any more? We kind of were with them in terms of their behavior towards idol worshipping. And the Medrash teaches that after the angels complained, Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, V'Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, that both nations, the Jewish people and the Egyptians, are practicing idol worshippers, so why are you choosing the Jewish people? So Hashem answers back to the complaint of the angels, of the Melachim, that says, no, well, you're being short-sighted. You're looking at them for who they are now. You're looking at them as the inanimate object version of the egg, that there's no life there. But I could see past that. I see that if I just sit on them, so to speak, develop them, nurture them, allow the potential to come forth, give them the TLC that they need, I see that they're like an egg, that they could fly, they could turn into a life force. I see them in just 50 short days, as if we're talking that it's Pesach, standing at the foot of Sinai and accepting my God's talking, beautiful Torah. I see them experiencing the Sukkah. I see them experiencing Purim much later in history and in Hanukkah. I see the Jewish people's ability to survive and their perpetuity through the diaspora. I see hundreds of individuals calling in daily in year 2021 after a difficult year to invigorate themselves, to learn and pray for recovery of their loved ones and friends. All of that Hashem saw and decided that based on that future, that unseen potential that just needs TLC to actualize, that's the reason Hashem tells back the angels that I'm choosing the Jewish people to be my beloved people, to carry the flag and banner of my world, my reality, the Torah, through the world. And I think that's why, well, not me, but that's this beautiful idea found in the Birchas Ish is the reason why we have the egg on the Seder plate, to remember the humble beginnings, to remember that even if there's not so much going on at the moment, but to believe in potential, to believe that Hashem doesn't look at you only for what you've accomplished, even if it's a difficult time and you feel like you haven't accomplished too much. He believes in you just like he believed in us as a nation, which is he sees what is capable in the future, the potential that you could see, that you could be actualizing in the future. So it's an empowering idea that we sit down at the Seder night to remember the national reality and in turn the personal reality. And it's empowering to realize, to believe in ourselves, even during hard times where it doesn't seem to be so much being accomplished, but see yourself for who you could be and what you could create rather than being short-sighted like the angels were being and seeing us just for that inanimate version of the egg, but rather see yourself for the life force that could come out if you just put the effort and nurture yourself and realize that Hashem believes in you more than sometimes we believe in ourselves. While that idea is seeping through us and percolating through us, I'm going to ask everyone to turn to our first chapter of Tehillim, chapter 23, Kapitel Chaf Gimel. Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Roi Lo Echsar, Binos Desha Yarbitzeni, Almei Menuchos Inahaleni, Nafshi Yeshovev, Yancheni, B'ma'agle Tzedek L'ma'an Shemo, Gam Ki Eilech B'gei Tzalmaves, Lo Ira Ra Ki Ata Imadi, Shiftecha U'mishantecha, Heima Yenachamuni, Ta'aroch Lefanai Shulchan Neged Tzorirai, Dishanta Vashemen Roshi, Kosi Revaya, Ach Tov Vachesed Yerdefuni, Kol Yemei Chayai, Vishavti Beveis Adonai, Leorech Yamim. And now we'll turn to the second chapter of Tehillim, chapter 1, 21, Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir Lamalov Esa Inai El Heharim Me Ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Meim Adonai Ose Shamayim Va'aret. Al Yitain Lamot Raglacha Al Yanum Shamarecha. Hine Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shamarecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakecha Ve'yareach Balayla. Adonai Yishmarecha Mikora Yishmar Es Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmar Tzeitcha Uva'echa Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. And for our final chapter, chapter 130, Kapitel Kuf Lamed, Shir Hamalos, Mima Amakim Karasicha Adonai, Adonai Shim'a Bekoli, Tihiyena Aznecha Kashuvos, Lekol Tachenunai, Im Avonos Tishmorya Adonai Mi Amod, Ki Imecha Haslicha Lema'an Tivarei, Kivisi Adonai Kivisa Nafshi, Velidvaro Hochalti, Nafshi La Adonai, Mishomerim Laboker, Shomerim Laboker, Yachel Yisrael, El Adonai, Kiim Adonai Hachesed, Beharbe Imo Fidus, Hu Yifte Es Yisrael, Mikol Avonostav. Indeed, those Tehillim were in merit and honor for to provide a quick and speedy recovery for all of those who are in need of it. Now we'll do the Mishnah Berurah, the prayer for the sick. And of course, I will pause silent as I am going through the list of names here in our community. And I'll have in mind to include any names which are being mentioned by you as I am silent. Misha Berach Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aharon David Ushlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirape Es HaCholim V'Es HaCholos. Bavur shanu mispalim ba'avuram bischar ze hakadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem lachlimam ularposam lachzikam v'lachayosam v'yishlach lahem mehera refua shleima min hashamayim l'ramachi barav ushtagidav v'soch shar chole Yisrael refua tanefesh refua taguch hashta ba'agolav izman kariv v'nomar amen. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesunim Betzara Uveshivya, Ha'omendim Bein Bayam Bein Bayabasha, Hamakam Yirachem Aleihem, Biyotzihem Yitzara Virvacha, Umeyafela La'ora, Umishibod Begu'ula, Hashta Ba'agala Uvizman Kariv, Venomar Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Klayman. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. We're doing good. You know, the community is definitely, it's the year of recovery for everyone. It's meaningful and it's a reality check to realize that over Purim we had our kitchen open and we were able to cook food for people to pick up and bring home. And it was the first time we had our kitchen open since last Purim. So from Purim to Purim, we're starting to see the reopening happening, and hopefully the vaccinations will continue and the community will start picking up. What can we say?
Please, God, near Kishon very, very soon. So to get us started, Rabbi Klayman, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a little bit of a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
sure. Yeah, absolutely. So the show, that it's a beautiful show called The Best Israel. We coined ourselves many years ago, a handful of years ago, as The Family Show, kind of our nickname, I guess, in town. And we're set in Edmonton, Alberta. It's a small Jewish community, about 7,000 Jews in the city. You know, one Orthodox show, one conservative show, one Reform show, one Chabad house, and we all work together. Very strong, you know, community obligation and kind of feel and connection that we all have with each other. And it's honestly a fantastic place to be a rabbi. We moved here 3 years ago from Yerushalayim, from Jerusalem, and it's been a fantastic few years for us. It's a beautiful community.
Amazing, amazing. Next question for you is, what motivated, what drove you to go into the rabbinate, more specifically, become the rabbi of a shul, to be a pulpit rabbi?
Well, that's a good question, a loaded question. Honestly, I am someone, I guess a passionate person. I've got a lot of hobbies. I just like things in general, but definitely top two are people and Torah. And I love people in general. And I love Torah, and I love to see people grow through the experience of Torah, through the message and effects that the Torah has on our personal lives. And I met my better half, Penina, and she shared the passion with me. And we made the audacious and large leap and move across the pond from Yerushalayim, like I said, to Edmonton to see that. And just being a pulpit rabbi is a natural place to get to have fun in those two passions and, I guess, hobbies of mine, you know, Torah and people. You put those two together, and it's just a beautiful reality that gets created.
Amazing, amazing. Certainly hear the passion in your voice and your community. Very, very fortunate to have both you and the rabbits. And last question
Thank
for
you.
Today. Without a crystal ball, none of us know what's to come and what the future brings. But thinking about your community, about perhaps the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we move forward, and please God, hopefully soon, into a post-COVID-19 world?
Yeah, that's a really powerful question. I mean, I think that, you know, Canada in general is a little bit, you know, behind in terms of the vaccination. We're just starting now in terms, you know, for the elderly. And, you know, we hope that once people feel safer, once we are safer and can actually gather in a safe way together, I think we're going to be kind of hit with two opposite voices and reactions for the past year. Some people will be, you know, you'll kind of have to convince them through more active programming and engagement why they need the shul in their life, why the shul, the synagogue is the epicenter of their religious life, and get them back somehow. And I think there's going to be a strong demographic as well, not talked about as much in the articles that you read about the synagogue reactions past COVID, that are going to come back more passionately than ever before, that they miss it. They miss the connection, whether it's the chit-chatting that us rabbis can't stand during davening or at the kiddush after, like just the connection that people are sorely missing right now is so much of that is seen and experienced in the show. And I think people are going to, you know, the optimistic perspective is a lot of people will come back with more passion than ever before, realizing that it was just one of those many things in life that we've taken for granted. We never thought we wouldn't have. And, well, we just didn't have it for a year. And it's a sobering reality check that you can't take anything for granted. And the things that you have, you got to embrace and make sure it's sustainable by presence and energetic engagement. And as the world continues to recover, I think communities will too. Rabbi Herman?
I apologize to everyone having some connectivity issues. Rabbi Klayman, you held down the fort in my absence. I was able to hear you, but no one was able to hear me.
Okay, no problem. Wasn't sure if we all got disconnected or not. No problem.
No. My apologies for that. But I guess I'll repeat because I was talking for a little while, so I heard you ask where I went. We had the opportunity here in South Florida recently in a group of rabbis together, and we discussed these exact topics of emerging from COVID. Many rabbis, many synagogue and community leadership are asking these questions of how to go to that next level, those who've been away for a year, or those who may have been able to come back but are simply just using it as an excuse not to come back. It's easier. So I think there's a lot of new challenges and hurdles, but also a lot of great opportunity in front of us as we press forward. So much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of what really sounds like an amazing community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael and us, the entire world, our thoughts and thoughts, the prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, good health. We hope and pray that all the collective efforts for peace and strength and refuah for all these will be answered with tzedakah for good. May the Rabboni Sholem, the Master of Worlds, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we'll hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Phil Foxbrunner of Congregation Beth Jacob in Atlanta, Georgia. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.